I'm Craig Calcaterra, and it's time for three stories you should know. This week, USA Gymnastics filed for bankruptcy, and that's where we're going to start. I'm joined by sports writer and editor Patrick Ruby via Skype, and by Sports Illustrated's Charlotte Wilder. Welcome back to both of you.
Great to be here.
Hi, great to be here.
Patrick, what's the latest on USA Gymnastics?
Well, this week they filed for bankruptcy. Now, you might be saying, that's great. This organization is already pretty morally bankrupt. Why not make it financially official? And of course, I'm referring to USA Gymnastics overseeing years of doing nothing as former team doctor Larry Nassar sexually abused hundreds of girls and young women. Now, Catherine Carson, who's the organization's new chairwoman, said that this filing might actually hasten claim payments to the more than 300 plaintiffs, including Olympic gymnasts, who are currently suing USA Gymnastics over Nassar's crimes. And she might be right. But what she didn't say is that in the bankruptcy filing, it's also going to end all discovery and depositions in those lawsuits. John Manley, who's one of the lawyers for many of Nassar's victims, says this would be a devastating development in terms of figuring out exactly who knew what and when in the Nassar case. So it's very, 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 very likely that they're still trying to cover their own butts. And that's a huge problem, because one of the best ways to make sure that something like this never happens again is to find out exactly how it happened in the first place and hold every last person responsible in any way accountable for that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the bottom line here is sports, so often the interests of business take over the interests of actual people. And I think it's, you know, it's disgusting, as Patrick was saying, you know, finding out what happened and everything that was going on should be so much more important than any financial situation. And unfortunately, in sports, it so often isn't. The women who were so brave and came forward, they deserve only the best and only the truth. And it's alarming if this makes that much harder.
Well, I will agree with that. But before my life in sports began, I had a past life as a litigation attorney. And while we all think of bankruptcy generally as, oh, we're out of money and it's a financial move, it is by far more often a legal move designed to put a full stop on litigation. It's very easy to show yourself as insolvent. It's so easy to get a bankruptcy filing approved by a judge. But what it's really all about is, let's stop the bleeding. Let's stop the sunlight from coming in and disinfecting everything that needs to be disinfected. I am fairly certain that that's what's happening here. I find it despicable, just as both of you two do. And unfortunately, I don't know that there's going to be a legal means to do anything about it. I think this stuff is going to get buried. I think survivors and victims will be compensated somehow, but it will be at the expense of understanding exactly what happened and why.
I mean, just as Charlotte said, that, you know, this is another example of putting profits over people, which, by the way, we all accept with just sort of a shrug, as if it's just normal and okay and good that American corporations are essentially sociopathic. We should probably think about that a little more. I think it is also another wider example of what you're talking about, Craig. Like, stuff always gets covered up. Powerful tend to get away with stuff. I mean, we don't have to look very far outside of USA Gymnastics and Larry Nassar to see lots of examples of this same phenomenon going on and sort of the use and abuse of the law to make it possible.
Well, on a much lighter note, a few baseball teams are utterly destroying themselves right now. The Arizona Diamondbacks traded away six-time All-Star Paul Goldschmidt this past week. Just before that, the Seattle Mariners traded away second baseman Robinson Cano and their ace closer Edwin Diaz to the New York Mets. They are just the latest of several Major League Baseball teams who are tanking. They decided that, sorry, the perfect is the enemy of the good. We're going to get rid of all of our talent, start from scratch, and probably spend about three seasons losing 100 games or thereabouts, just because we want to get better in the future. There's a defense of that. You can look at the Houston Astros. You could look at the Chicago Cubs, recent World Series winners who did very similar things a few years back. But at what cost are these tank jobs coming? We're going to have fans in Seattle, fans in Arizona, fans in any number of places. Really, half the American League is tanking right now, who know that their baseball teams have no intention of competing for a good season, maybe three.
You know, I think that it kind of depends what kind of fan you are, how you think about this. You know, if you're willing to ride it out and get a lot of seasons of greatness, I mean, the Astros were right back in the hunt this year. So, yeah, they had 4 years that were horrendous, but it works. And I think as long as it works, again, you know, from a business perspective, you know, making fans happy, eventually there's something to it. And it's really hard to dissuade GMs from doing that when they see the success. Now, I don't love it, but I think it's hard to argue against it when financially and sort of glory-wise, eventually, it does work.
Patrick, do the ends justify the means here?
Well, the problem's the means. I don't even want to talk about the ends. The problem's 100% the means, because you're rewarded for failing by getting higher draft picks. Your higher draft picks are cost-controlled by these ridiculous, you know, rookie contracts and all these sort of shenanigans these team pulls to extend even longer. These teams have created this artificial sort of life cycle of stinking, being good, tearing it down, and starting over. But even more than that, just off the field, I think a lot of this is the result of the fact that, like, it's pretty much impossible to lose money owning one of these teams. Like, there's so much TV money in the sport now. There's revenue sharing. There's all these mechanisms in place that you don't have to worry about, like, having a good team in order to still have a business. So basically, I think tanking is probably here to stay if you're a fan. You know, it's one of those things where it's like, I'll check back with you in 4 years.
I will say, even though I'm very much and quite transparently against baseball teams tanking and not trying at least to win a little bit, there is a certain segment of fandom that does like this. There used to be a thing where you were a kid and you wanted to be the center fielder for the New York Giants. Well, now you are a kid, you want to be the general manager of the Houston Astros or somebody like that, and you run your fantasy leagues and you run simulations and you get to learn everything about the 17th player on the minor league depth chart or prospect list. And there is an interesting part of the game for fans who are into that stuff. But as I get older, I just prefer a beer and a hot dog and a good baseball game. And we're getting way fewer of those these days.
Yeah, I don't think cheering and rooting for, you know, just asset management is all that interesting. I have to agree with you there.
Charlotte, we are definitely not tanking here. We are turning it over to you, our heavy hitter here, to close this one out.
That's very kind of you. I want to talk about this week some things that Kevin Durant said. Now, Kevin Durant, you know, one of the stars of the Warriors, which is, you know, like the Death Star stacked with stars, was asked for a piece that ran in Bleacher Report about whether players want to play with LeBron or not. And first of all, he said that a lot of young players are made to change their game if they want to be in the court with LeBron, just sort of rework things to fit into his plan. He then said, so much hype comes from being around LeBron from other people. He has so many fanboys in the media. Even the beat writers just fawn over him. What was so interesting to me about what Durant said about the media is I think it sort of fed the narrative of Durant needing enemies. You know, he'd famously created Twitter accounts that were burners where no one knew it was him, and he would argue with people who were saying bad things about him online. And he and Russell Westbrook had this falling out. And, you know, the pettiness in the NBA is a big thing these days. And Durant always sort of seems to be at the center of it. And so it's interesting. It's very meta that he sort of keeps doing this as we keep talking about it. And it just goes around and around and around.
Well, I mean, first of all, I love Kevin Durant being like sensitive and cranky all the
yeah.
time, or a lot of the
it's
time.
So
it's
good.
Just fun. You know, also, I think as a society and a culture, we're just more gossipy. And maybe we were always gossipy, but now we just have this like, access to do more gossiping. But, you know, everything is essentially the Real Housewives now. And it's all kind of the same phenomenon of, like, I think we're all just kind of starved for some drama and something to talk about until the next thing comes along.
I think we're being all too meta and all too media navel-gazy with all of this. I'm going to grab my metaphorical beer again and be a sports fan, and I'm going to say, let's look at the content here. He's LeBron James. I don't care if you have to change your game to play with LeBron James. He's the best player in basketball, probably the best player there's ever been in basketball. So on the substance, he's just wrong, and or am I just crazy, Charlotte?
Well, I don't know. You know, there is something interesting to it about what do you give up of your own game and how long do you give that up for? I guess the last thing I'll say is my favorite part about what Durant said was that it just ended up kind of sounding a little sad and jealous. It sounded like he wants fanboys in the media because, like, no one feels about Kevin Durant the way they do about LeBron James. And so there was something kind of delightful. It's like that girl gets all the guys. Like, I don't even want guys. I don't like guys. Don't give me any guys. And it's like, well, I think you kind of want some guys, my friend. It might be Real Housewives, but man, I'm having a great time.
Well, maybe Kevin Durant can just create a few media fanboys of his own with his Twitter account habits. We'll see. I don't know.
Yeah, I think he did. I think he's done that, Craig.
My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been sports writer and editor Patrick Ruby and Sports Illustrated's Charlotte Wilder. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure, Craig.